It's a delight to welcome all of you to the House of God this evening. It's delightful to see all the young folks here. And my age is anybody under 100 is a young person. So if you're here tonight, the message is for you. If you're over 100, tune out. We want to talk about finding God's will for your life. And this is a very important subject that we should pay attention to very carefully. And I'm not trying to be funny, but the way some people try to find God's will is pretty unbelievable. I read about a lady who had a lifetime ambition of going to the Holy Land, and she got a pamphlet on the Holy Land tour, and she read it over carefully, and she had the time and the money to make the trip, but she was not quite sure if it was the Lord's will for her to go. So before going to bed that night, she read the pamphlet, and she noted in the details that she was going to be traveling on a 747 jumbo jet. When she woke in the morning, her digital alarm clock said 747, and she took that as God's will for her to go. Well, that's pretty unbelievable. A college sophomore was in need of a car, and he had a series of dreams one night, and everything in the dream was in yellow. Early the next morning, he began to hit the car lots, and he looked at one car after another, and finally he found God's will for him, a yellow car. It was yellow inside and out. He didn't even ask to drive it. He just bought it. Turned out to be a lemon. And then there's the example of Christians who use the open window method of seeking God's will. You take your Bible and you put it in the open window and the wind blows the pages and you stop it, and wherever your finger lands, that's your verse for the day. And a fellow did that, and the verse that came up was, Judas went and hanged himself. Well, he didn't think that was a very good life verse, and he did it again, and this time he put his finger on the verse that says, go and do thou likewise. And the third time he found, whatsoever thou doest, do quickly. Well, let's look at some better ways to discern God's will for our lives this evening. Mankind's greatest honor and privilege is to do the will of God. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21 that only those who do his Father's will enter the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 12:50, Jesus said that his brothers and sisters are those who do the will of God. Peter declares that God sets men free from sin so that they can do God's will. The New Testament urges believers to walk as Jesus walked, following his example. And the highest desire of Jesus' life and ministry was to do the will of his Father. Every believer should have a like desire to fulfill all the will of God. It's so easy for us to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and then do just as we please without seeking God's guidance in our lives. There are so many choices in today's world. Young people especially have foundational choices to make in early in life. The choice of a life's work, the choice of a life's companion, the choice to follow God, Christ, in salvation. And these are choices which will influence the young person's life for better or for worse throughout their lives. There are a host of lesser decisions that young people face every day. And it would be so easy if we had, in this computerized age, a computerized alphabet of God's guidance, a place where we could simply enter our question or problem and receive God's answer in return. Well, all of us know that discerning God's will for our lives is never that simple. Like the Old Testament patriarch Job, there are times when God doesn't seem to be revealing his will to us. And sometimes the heavens are silent and we're left without guidance. It's at those times when we, like Job, must recognize God's sovereignty and wait until he makes his way clear to us. The Bible is quite clear that God wants to direct our paths. The scripture that Brother Robert read in verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. The King James says he will direct thy paths. So how do you and I discern God's will for our lives? First, I'd like you to look with me at three conditions for finding God's will in our lives. Now, these are not the only conditions for finding God's will, but I believe that they are foundational to our search. And until we meet these three conditions, we will not be successful in finding God's will. The first condition is our relationship to God through Christ. Now, the question of our relationship to Jesus Christ is a critical factor in seeking God's will in our lives. Until one is rightly related to God through faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he or she cannot have the motivation to follow God's will for his or her life. God's word tells us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's perfect will, and that sin separates us from God. And try as we may through good works or religious acts or gifts to charities, we cannot cross that chasm between us which sin has created. In fact, God's word tells us that the holiness of God demands that he place a penalty on our sin, and that penalty is our death. Mankind is sinful and sentenced to death by a holy God. It's impossible for us to come to God in our sin. It's impossible for us to discern God's will in our lives. But praise God, tonight there is hope. The word gospel means good news. The good news of the gospel is that God loved us and sent his son Jesus to die on a cruel cross to pay for our sins. If we will accept that payment, we can cross the chasm between us and God. We can have salvation, eternal life, and be rightly related to God through Jesus Christ. Only when we come to God through salvation by faith and trust in Jesus Christ are we in a position to begin to know the will of God. It's absolutely essential for one to be sure of his or her relationship to Christ before he or she can expect to find God's will. So if you're here this evening and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, I urge you to make that a priority today. A second condition to finding God's will for your life is something we've been talking about. I realized when I was going over this message this evening, almost every evening we've talked about this, and it's humility. The person that thinks he or she knows it all will probably never experience the joy of walking in God's will. Man's ways, you see, are not God's ways. Satan will try to get us to think that we know better than God. He'll try to get us to rush ahead thinking that we're in God's will when we have never heard from him. Many times we're busy doing what we think is God's will when we haven't checked with him to be sure. The humble man or woman who recognizes his or her limitations and leans heavily on the Lord will be able to discern his will. The self-confident person who fails to lean on God will be left in darkness. Humility is a condition for finding God's will. God isn't likely to show his will to a proud person who is relying on his or her strength. A third condition for finding God's will is obedience in every area of our lives. Some of us are willing to follow God's will in certain areas of our lives, but not willing to obey in others. Sometimes we come to God saying we want to know his will, when what we really want is his approval of the path that we have already chosen for ourselves. Many of our problems in finding God's will would be solved if we would say, Lord, I am willing to accept anything as long as you assure me that it is your will for me. George Mueller of Bristol, England, was a man of great faith and one that could discern the will of God with great accuracy. He wrote, I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. 9/10 of the problem with people is just here. 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. When one is truly in that state, it is usually but a little way to the knowledge of what his will is. He also wrote, "It came to me to an entire and full surrender of heart. I gave myself fully to the Lord, honor, pleasure, money, my physical powers, my mental powers, all were laid down at the feet of Jesus, and I became a great lover of the Word of God. I found my all in God." End of quotation. When you and I are ready to obey God in whatever he reveals, we are ready to receive his will for our lives. Someone has written, "Why do I drift on a storm-tossed sea with neither compass nor star nor chart, when as I drift, God's plan for me waits at the door of my slow, trusting heart? Down from the heaven it drops like a scroll. Each day a bit will the master unroll. Each day a mite of the veil will he lift. Why do I falter? Why wonder and drift? Drifting while God's at the helm to steer, groping while God lays the course so clear, swerving though straight into port I might sail, wrecking when heaven lies just within hail. Help me, O God, in the plan to believe. Help me my fragment each day to receive. Oh, that my will may with thine have no strife. God willed, yielded wills find the God planned life." Three conditions for finding God's will: a relationship with Christ as our Savior, a humility in seeking God's will, and a willingness to obey in every area of our lives. Look with me now at a few specific ways that we can discern God's will in our lives. First, I'd like to suggest God's Word. If we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior and are humbly seeking his will and are obedient to his guidance, he will speak to us through his Word. While our specific question or problem may not be addressed in the Scripture, God's Word contains many broad doctrinal principles which will help us to discern his will. We should never knowingly make a decision or do an action that we know is contrary to a principle in God's Word. There are many principles in the Bible. Some examples: the Bible says that the Christian should be a man or woman who lives his life, his or her life, with integrity. Now, there are so many principles or decisions that are covered by that principle. If we follow that principle of integrity, we won't cheat on our income taxes. We won't lie to each other. We won't drive hard or shady bargains. We won't spread gossip and unrest. We won't be unfaithful to our spouses. We won't be inconsistent in the way we live our lives at home and at work and at school and at church. If we follow that principle of integrity, we will be known as people who keep our word and are honest in all our dealings. Another biblical principle is, "Be holy, for I am holy." Now, if we follow this principle, we will not take employment in a job which engages in anything that is not wholesome or holy. We can be sure if we are considering a job that is unrighteous, that it is not God's will for our lives. You and I need to be discerning in this area and open to God's Spirit. If we will truly rely on him, he will reveal his will to us. A job at half the salary in the will of God is better than a very lucrative job that requires one to compromise one's Christian standards. If we follow this principle, we will also be sure to conduct ourselves in a way that is pure in our relationship to those who are of the opposite gender. Young people and all of us need to guard our sexual purity. We need to be sure that we're not engaging in behaviors which excite our sexual feelings. Pornography and smutty magazines and exciting pictures and coarse, lewd speech all will ignite the flames of our sexual passions. The Christian young person who wants to remain pure must set bounds for his or her behavior before he or she is in a tempting situation. If we haven't set those bounds before the temptation, we may find that it is impossible to avoid impurity. Like Joseph, we may have to flee from some people, places, or things in order to remain pure in mind and body. Purity lost can be regained, but there will be heartaches and consequences. It's so much more satisfying to maintain that purity and not to deal with the consequences of impurity. So I challenge you all to covenant with God to set boundaries and to remain morally pure. Another Bible principle is that we should be quick to forgive each other and quick to acknowledge our own feelings. If we're arrogant and stubborn when God or His servants point out failings in our lives, we will block God's revelation of His will to us. We should be quick to forgive when asked, and we should be quick to correct sins in our lives when God points them out to us. If we refuse to forgive or acknowledge our sins, we cut ourselves off from God's will for our lives. God, you see, cannot help us if we refuse to obey and deliberately walk in rebellion to Him. Another biblical principle is the matter of our submission to those who are in authority over us. Now, this would include God and church leaders and government leaders and parents, teachers, bosses, and policemen. We will cause ourselves untold grief if we defy the authority figures that God has placed over us under. God will not reveal His will to us if we are defiant and rebellious. Whenever you have a decision to make, you should seek to determine if God's word has already spoken in principle on the subject. God, you see, won't give us guidance on a subject He has already spoken to in His word. There are so many other principles in God's word, and they can guide us in finding God's will for our lives. The young person who has built his or her life on the bedrock of biblical character will have a much easier time of finding God's will for his or her life. In order for us to know the biblical principles in God's word, we will need to spend time in it. A famous evangelist and a friend were traveling by train. The evangelist was reading his Bible. The friend put down his newspaper and said, "I wish I knew the Bible like you do. The evangelist said with feeling, "You'll never get to know the Bible by reading the newspaper." Young people, if you want to be familiar with the principles of God's word, you will need to spend time with it. A second way to discern God's will is through God's people. The person who is willing to seek God's counsel from God's people will have an easier time discerning God's will for his or her life. Now, we need to be careful that we don't just pick people to ask that we know will agree with what we have already decided. Sometimes we just want to hear confirmation for what we want to do. Scripture says that there is wisdom in the multitude of God's counselors. Parents and church leaders, godly people we know, can be a valuable source of help as we seek to discern God's will. Husbands and wives need to listen to each other. Sometimes we are so independent. Many times, husbands, we miss valuable advice and guidance because we do not consider the advice of our wives. Godly counsel is a good way to help us to discern God's will. Excuse me. A third method that God uses to reveal His will to us is through circumstances. If we will be open to His leading and ask Him to guide our steps, God will sometimes reveal His will to us through opening or closing doors in our lives. Approximately 12 years ago, I lost a job that I loved very much under very painful circumstances. Things were said which weren't true, and there were coworkers who believed and told on truths, but I wasn't able to defend myself, and I was absolutely convinced that I was there because it was God's will for my life, but he had taken that job away. And wives, just as a aside, I don't know if I got through this without the incredible woman that God gave to me. She stood with me. She had faith in me. You'll never realize the support and the value that you are to your husband. Stand by them. It wasn't a very good time for me to be looking for a job. I was 60 years old and I had been fired, and none of this looks very good on a job application. I found that it was very difficult to explain to a prospective employer. I filled out approximately 25 to 30 job applications, and I had a few interviews, but I couldn't find anything. And then God led me to a local grocery store where I stocked shelves on third shift. The pay was low, the work was hard, the hours were terrible, but it was what God had provided. And after approximately a year, God provided an opening on day shift, and I had given the matter to God. I had told him that I thought I had done all I could, and I was satisfied if it was his will for me to do that job. And without my seeking it, God provided the ministry job that I am now doing. Several of the interviews before the store job had felt okay, but God had shut the door. When I interviewed for the present job, God provided a calm assurance that even though there were many unanswered details and questions, that was where he wanted me to be. God can open and close doors if we are sensitive to his leading. The Old Testament example of Gideon's fleece is an example of God guiding through circumstances. We know Gideon asked God for the fleece to be wet and then the ground to be dry. And then he asked for the fleece to be dry and the ground to be wet. And God heard and revealed his will to him. Many times God can reveal his will to us, like the illustration of the moving car. You know, when your car is sitting still, it is very difficult to turn the steering wheel. But when it is moving, you can turn the wheel with one finger. And just so, God can reveal his will when we begin to move through a door or an opportunity. He can leave it open or close it. We see that type of guidance in the Apostle Paul's life in the book of Acts in chapter 16. Paul and his companions passed through the regions of Phrygia and Galatia, and because the Holy Spirit had forbidden them to minister in Asia, Paul had a door closed in his face. What did he do? Go back to the motel and wait? No. Like the moving car, he immediately tried, we're told, to go to Bithynia. But the Spirit closed that door. Paul had two doors slammed, but he immediately went to Troas, and there a man from Macedonia came to Paul in a vision by night and asked him to come over to Macedonia to help him. And in verse 10, Paul immediately sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called him to preach the gospel to them. Paul was so in tune with God's Spirit that he could confidently proceed, knowing that God would reveal his will to him through opening and shutting the doors he attempted to walk through. You and I can help to discern God's will by listening for the Spirit's voice and ask God to open and shut doors for us. A fourth way that we can discern God's will may sound a bit subjective, but it can be very real. It's for us to simply ask God to give us a deep, settled peace when we know his will. Often when I have a decision to make and I'm unsettled and moving between two options, I take it as a sign that I'm not discovering or discerning God's will. Many times when we're not moving toward God's will, he will send us a spirit of unrest. We will vacillate between thinking it's God's will and then moving toward having grave doubts. I believe that God can use that uncertainty to show us that we're not moving toward his will for our lives. That uncertainty is replaced with a deep, settled peace and a calm when God is indicating his will to us. The joy of having God speak to you in this way is remarkable. When God speaks calm to your soul, the uncertainty and doubt vanishes, and you know what God wants you to do. In Acts chapter 21, the Apostle Paul was on his way to Jerusalem when a man named Agabus told Paul that the Holy Spirit revealed to him that Paul would be bound and delivered to the Gentiles if he went to Jerusalem. They tried their best to persuade him not to go, but Paul had a deep, settled peace that God wanted him to go. And in verse 14, they said, "The will of the Lord be done." Paul knew, because he was walking in the Spirit, that God was sending him to Jerusalem. Barb and I had a personal example of the guidance of God through a deep, settled peace like this. We had spent approximately 13 years in New York State because the Lord called us there. And when he called us back, we assumed that we would be returning to the Pleasant Hill congregation. We had both grown up here, but two other congregations had invited us. My father was working at the Belvedere congregation in York, and they wanted us to come, and Donald Miller from Mummerts had invited us to come there. We prayed, and we thought the Lord was calling us to Pleasant Hill, and in order to give him a chance to guide us, we decided that we would go to each of the churches for a month and ask him to show us where he wanted us. We went to Pleasant Hill for a month, and you all were very nice, but God was clearly saying, "No, this is not the place." Then we went to Belvedere, and between going to people's houses for dinner and teaching and preaching, it was several months before we went to Mummerts. And it again was clear to us that God was saying no to Belvedere. And we were getting a little bit discouraged, feeling like people without a church home. And we came to Mummerts, and as we stepped into the vestibule the first time, we looked at each other and we both knew that this was the place. God had taken his time, but he was faithful to us in revealing where he wanted us. It's slightly ironic that Mummerts would not have been the place that either of us would have picked, but it was clearly God's choice for us. There have been many other incidents of God clearly leading us when we were willing to walk in the Spirit and patiently wait for him to show us his will. I think that we should say a word again about moving. Remember the moving car. It's so much easier to be guided when we're moving. We must never fail to move if God's Holy Spirit says move. We should never run ahead of God's will for us. Sometimes we must be patient and wait, but we must never allow waiting to be an excuse for not moving if we sense God's Spirit telling us to move. Someone has written, "When I stand at the judgment seat of Christ and he shows me his plan for me, the plan of my life as it might have been, had he had his way with me, I see how I blocked him here and I checked him there and I would not yield my will there be grief in my Savior's eyes, grief, though he loves me still. He would have me rich and I stand there poor, stripped of all but his grace, while memory runs like a haunted thing down the paths I cannot retrace. Then my desolate heart will well nigh break with the tears I cannot shed. I shall cover my face with my empty hands. I shall bow my own crowned head. Lord, of the years that are left to me, I give them to thy hand. Take me and break me and mold me to the pattern thou hast planned." To sum up tonight, three conditions for finding God's will: a relationship with Jesus Christ, a humility in accepting God's will, a willingness to obey in every area of our lives. Some practical ways to find God's will: through God's word, through God's people, through circumstances, and through a deep, settled peace in our spirit. I encourage you all, and especially you young people, to apply these principles in your lives as we seek to discern God's will for our lives. The first condition we noticed was having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here this evening and you've never invited Jesus to forgive your sins, come into your life and give you eternal life, you need to do that this evening. As we sing an invitation hymn, I encourage you to stand or come forward to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior if you have never received him as Savior. What number? 107
in the green book.
Number 107 in the green book.